Hello and welcome to another Weikert Relocation Resources Relocation Podcast. My name is Tim McCarney. I'm the Manager of Marketing Communications at Weikert Relocation Resources. We have with us today Jennifer Canal. Jennifer is the Manager of Consulting Services at Weikert Relocation Resources. Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tim. How are you?
Fantastic. The topic today is going to be loss on sale. Jen, in your experience, what you're seeing day-to-day working with clients and their policies, is loss on sale assistance becoming a regular fixture in today's relocation policies? Is it something that companies almost have to be offering to get employees to take a move?
Well, we are seeing it. It's at this point, it's a widespread practice among most companies. We found that in our last annual survey on mobility in the real estate market, around half of companies actually have formalized it in their policies, at least to some group of employees. And then an additional approximately 30% provide it on a case-by-case basis. So right there, that's 80% of the companies that we surveyed have utilized it in some form.
That's amazing. And now, in terms of what types of assistance they're giving out, what are you seeing in terms of the caps? I mean, I'm sure there are limitations that companies are saying, you know, we'll go this far, but we're really not going to go beyond this.
Right, and that's the number one practice that companies use to fortify their policies, minimize the costs that can certainly go out of control if they don't put some sort of maximum or some sort of rules around on how much loss on sale will be provided. This was an interesting change over last year because there was a dramatic increase in the maximum that companies will provide to employees. Last year, we saw the number one response was $50,000 as the cap. This year, the number one response is still $50,000. However, the second most common response was $100,000, and it was only a separation of one percentage between the two, between the top two percentages. 100% was not number two last year. This is certainly a dramatic increase.
Now, in terms of who is getting this type of assistance, do companies actually go out and say, well, we can't give this to everybody? Or perhaps maybe they do give it to everybody in some cases, but I would imagine there are specific demographics within the employee populations that are receiving this type of assistance.
Well, it's certainly reasonable to expect that the higher the level of the employee, the more likely they're going to receive loss on sale assistance, and that still holds true. However, we have seen more companies that are formalizing it in their policies and providing it to more homeowners, and it's not really not as much in reflection of the level of the employee. It's the fact that homeowners across the country, there are so many depressed areas of real estate that it is required of any level homeowner, and we have seen an increase in companies that will provide it to all homeowners across the board, whether they are a current employee, a new hire, regardless of level.
Let's say there's an employee that a company simply has to have. I know we talk a lot about exceptions as sometimes starting a slippery slope, and I'm sure that most companies want to be sort of fair and equitable to all their employees and maintain some kind of consistency. But in terms of exceptions to loss on sale policy, is that something you would tend to recommend against, or is it sort of commonly accepted that, you know, in this day and age, there are going to be those instances in which you need this employee, this is what you're going to have to pay to get that particular employee?
Well, ultimately, what the company decides to do in practice is certainly up to the company. We don't recommend for it or against it, and sometimes exceptions can actually be okay, can be a good way for a company to gauge whether their policy is already too rich or robust and or whether it's too conservative and they need to extend more assistance across the board to their employees. So exceptions aren't necessarily a bad thing. However, for public companies, there has been more, unfortunately, negative publicity around what is being paid out to executive-level employees. And we all know that public companies do have to disclose the costs of executives in their proxy statements. And one way to protect themselves against this is to be consistent about what they put in the policy and how they administer the policy.
In terms of other things you might be seeing in loss on sale, are there any trends you're seeing, any questions that tend to come up time and time again from the clients you work with?
Well, they're really not so much in the area of loss on sale, but in a related area. I have, from time to time, I am asked about negative equity situations. In any situations, you know, how does the first mortgage affect the loss on sale versus the second mortgage, things like that. And I just want to reiterate to anybody who's listening that the definition of a loss on sale, regardless of what the equity situation is defined as the difference between the original purchase price and the selling price. The equity does not actually necessarily play into the loss calculation. On a related note regarding negative equity, there are a few companies that will assist employees with negative equity situations. And in those situations, they're usually on a case-by-case basis. The situation's evaluated very carefully. And typically, companies will only assist them with the first mortgage, regarding the equity. And from speaking with companies, my understanding is that if there is a second equity that comes into play, it's very difficult to tie that back to the property. How was the money used? How was it allocated? Was it used to improve the property? Did it over-improve the property? Did they use it to purchase something besides, home improvements? They used it to buy a boat, a new car, to help their child's college education. Sometimes the second equity is more for lifestyle choices and really doesn't play into the property. And for that matter, it isn't really related to the relocation in general.
Great information as always, Jen. And just to let our listeners know, you will be at the Weigert Relocation Resources booth at ERC's Global Workforce Symposium in October. So if you read the blog, you listen to the podcasts, you want to stop by, you have a question for Jen or anything you'd like to see covered in future podcasts, by all means, please stop by. Stop by anyways, because we're a friendly bunch.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there.
I'd like to see anybody who wants to stop by. Jen, once again, thank you for your time. If anyone has any questions or comments or suggestions for future episodes, you can email us at solutions@wrri.com. And for the latest trends and best practice information, please check out our blog at wrri.com/blog. Jen, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next time.